CliffCentral.com. Well, that's pretty cool. That's your promo. I haven't seen that before. Bulelo's got a little promo going there for the MKT show, which is the podcast version of Cliff Central Sport. And how did yesterday's show go? Looked pretty good.
No, all good. The aesthetic is making the full transition. So
looks nice.
Subscribe to Cliff Central Sport on YouTube. Otherwise, mm-hmm. the MKT show, wherever you get your podcasts. And yeah, very good.
There we are.
We had some... We're doing some work in the background, which has been, it's been an awesome time. You know, I know there are people going through stuff out there, but we're grinding and it's awesome, man. It's awesome to get the feedback as well. You know, we've gotten some really great feedback from people in KZN that have said this show and, you know, our show kind of, if they can just escape for 2 hours. So
that's lovely.
It's been awesome.
That's really good. I think, you know, as you said earlier, let's use the rest of this year properly. And you're certainly doing that. CliffCentral.com on a Tuesday morning. It's already the 20th of July. Oof, things are moving fast. And we do have another 5 months left of 2021. And you're going to have to find a way to make it useful for you, because otherwise you're going to look back when December eventually comes around and you're going to go, what did I do with this year? And you're going to be disappointed and angry about the fact that you didn't get enough done. And you'll blame everything except yourself. But really, you have the power to change that, as you do every other day. So, people are wondering whether you can swim in the sea off Umhlanga yet, because there was, you know, a chemical plant that burnt down and a whole lot of chemicals went into the water and there were videos going around on social media. Well, this guy has put out a video to say he went for a swim and he says he's fine. Take a look at this quickly.
Hey guys, just an environmental update on Umhlanga. I was out swimming in Umhlanga today.
Yeah.
And the water seemed fine. It smells great. I mean, I was, everything seemed up in the up and up. I mean, I was really just there along this area, and I mean, I don't feel any different, really. I mean, everything seems fine. So, yeah, beaches should be open.
So he's holding up like a claw. This diseased claw. You know, you got to love people with their sense of humor, man. That's the one thing that you can absolutely depend on, is a South African's ability to laugh at themselves. All right, let's go into the territory of controversy, and... please feel free to send your comments in as they occur to you, because I know this is probably going to be one of those things that's going to be clipped out of the show, and before you know it, we're going to be called all kinds of terrible things. Certainly, I'm okay with that. But here is a picture of the first ever Sports Illustrated trans cover model. This is Lena Bloom, who has just become Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Now, the swimsuit issue, for those of you who don't know, this was a major thing. Certainly when I was in my late teens, early 20s, the swimsuit issue of Sports Illustrated was, it was the apex of both feminine beauty and the male idea of feminine beauty. And they kind of coalesced in what was one of the most high-profile magazines and magazine editions. People would look forward to this all year. It was a big, big deal. It was really important. And Swimwear 2021, Sports Illustrated Swimwear Edition, they've got Lena Bloom, who is a trans cover model, on the front page of that. So I will not be buying that magazine, and I don't know about you, but that's just me. There may be other people who do want to buy it. And then there's a Calvin Klein billboard of a morbidly obese woman that's up on a building in New York, and she says, I speak my truth in hashtag my Calvins, Calvin Klein. This is part of the fat acceptance movement or the body positivity movement or whatever you want to call it. And you got these two women. The one is the Trans Sports Illustrated Swimwear Edition cover model, and the other one is on a billboard in New York City. And I just am, I'm up to here with politically correct messaging. I'm sick and tired of people forcing their nonsense because they want political acceptance or they want political attention or they want social kudos or whatever it is on things that I used to love that I can't love anymore. You know, it's all good and well that the trans community is standing up for themselves. And I'm very happy about that, because for too long, trans people have been ignored and or vilified, and in some places even victimized. I get that. That's it's not even interesting to say that anymore because everybody knows that's the case, right? It's like people who, you know, are in their 20s and bring up apartheid. It's like, yeah, you didn't really live through that, but your parents possibly did, so maybe you do know something about it. The fact is everybody's, unless they've been completely ignorant and never picked up a history book, they should know about these things. The trans community makes up less than 1% of the total world population. They're getting a huge amount of attention now, which is fine. But I think, you know, at some point we have to look at their demographic representation and say, well, isn't this a little too much because it's over the top now and I think people are sick of being force-fed propaganda? Or am I just looking for trouble? I didn't choose to talk about this morning because it particularly affects me either which way. I don't really care if Sports Illustrated swimwear cover girl is now a trans model. I also don't really care about a billboard that I'm not in the city of some really, really unhealthy, morbidly obese underwear woman. But the fact is, all of this is part of like this insidious culture that's bubbling underneath us at the moment. And if you don't join in and join hands and say how great it is, you're a bad person, according to some people. I'm sick of being called a bad person. I'm not really worried about this ad. I'm not really worried about this magazine cover. But I won't be called a bad person, not by people I don't know, or by people who expect me to walk in lockstep with them on every issue they care about, or else be branded as some kind of horrible person. I don't like that, and I don't think that that's the way you make friends. What this is going to do, ultimately, is it's going to make people resentful rather than supportive of both the trans movement and of body positivity stroke fat acceptance. It's not going to help the cause. You know, you don't bring people to your side by pointing a gun at them. And that's essentially what I think is socially happening to people.
But why would you be a bad person in this case? For saying what you're saying now? Or
yes,
or
because you're not like wholeheartedly and with enthusiasm supporting the idea. You know, I'm not going on social media and clapping and clicking, going, it's so great that there's this obese woman in a building or that there's a trans model on the cover of swimwear edition of Sports Illustrated. Unless you are actively supporting, enthusiastically behind these things, you're a bad person. That's what happens. Watch. Just watch the space and see.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've always said this. Political correctness is the art of semantics.
It never lets you
deal with the real issues, right? Is that, like, the lady with the Calvin Klein thing. It's like, no, objectively, you shouldn't want to look like that. No. Not because of the aesthetic. Because there's a health implication, like, and you know, there's, by the way, people that keep saying thyroid, excuse me, we've dealt with thyroid now, we deal with it like the common cold, we have medicine for that, so do me a favor with that one, is there is a functionally bad health implication to that, and me saying that doesn't mean that I'm a bad person, I'm just telling you what rudimentary science in the 1960s said.
I completely agree with you, Bolelo. We have no argument, you and I didn't think we would have. But I do want to tell people who are massively behind these two particular movements that I've just indicated now, the fat acceptance stroke body positivity group and the ones who are in the trans activists group, those two groups need to be aware of the fact that when you label people as being your enemies because they don't enthusiastically support everything you do, what you ultimately do is you push them over the line in the opposite direction. And there's going to be a reaction to all of this. That's always inevitable, right? You know, if you push everybody to the left, they want to go to the right. If you push everybody to the right, they want to go to the left. That's just the way it works. And I am concerned that by everybody in the media, by most of the social media noise, by these very, very loud, very, very much minority voices in society that are proffering us this new material, that they don't seem to understand or have any appreciation for the fact that most people don't really deal with these issues on a daily basis. It's not important enough to most people, but when you push it in their faces every day and you tell them, you must love this, you must be a huge supporter of this, it actually pushes people the opposite way. You know, like it didn't bother me that these two things were happening until it became clear to me that unless I supported them, I must be willing to be called things. I must be willing to be told I'm not good. I must be willing to accept that there are people out there who will say that that I am transphobic or that I am fatphobic. Those are the two words that will be used. And I'm not actually interested in that conversation. So what it's going to do is push me away from those two communities and make me even less likely to be kind and considerate and accepting, which is what I am right now. But I'm not saying that I could stay there if you are prepared to go to war with me. And I'm also not prepared to say that the average person in the world who genuinely doesn't really encounter the body positivity or the trans movement in any real way, because they have small proportions of the activist community online. Most people just get on with their lives. But if you make a big deal of it, and then you force people to have the decidedly acceptable opinion about this, they're going to push the other way. I don't think it's good for these two groups at all.
You know, in the sciences, they always teach you when you're a stupid first year to start thinking in what we call logical conclusions, to consider what we call logical conclusions once you've read the evidence. And I've actually experienced this as somebody who dates across color lines, right, is where does it stop in terms of, like, eventually, you know, where it's gotten to is that I have people, and in my case, black women, because sometimes I'll be with a white girl or whatever, is eventually people are telling you who to find attractive. Mm. Like, now it's not find black women attractive? I'm using my own life.
What's wrong with you that this woman isn't attractive to you? How dare you? You're obviously bigoted. That's what you are, because you don't find her attractive with that huge slab of fat between the top and the bottom of her underwear. You have to find that attractive. You have to. You are.
Or what if I don't? What if I?
The power of the Jesus compels you. You have to love her.
Oh, humana.
And I have to be thrilled that there's a trans model on the cover of what used to be my favorite kind of edition of Sports Illustrated as a kid, for obvious reasons, right? I have to love
that. But for everybody who seeks inclusivity, and I include myself as a black man, and right now we're having interesting conversations in global society, right? Is that when you want to be a part of it, what you need to understand is that your identity politic cannot become the most interesting thing about you.
Yeah, you've said this. I think you're right.
So, and we all head that direction. And I think, listen, there's nothing wrong with being trans, man. I cannot be number one forced to talk about it all the time. And it can't be the most interesting thing about you. I'm sorry. Okay, you're trans. Great. Now, are you a moral person? Are you useful to society? Let's move on, please, pal. I don't have to be forced to like you. What's beneath this stuff? Let's talk about that. And because we're always dealing with the I'm trans, love me, we never get to, hey, are you a good person? You, whatever your identity politic is. Mm-hmm. We're always obsessed with sticking to the surface.
And also, just I would point out something else about this this Calvin Klein billboard. I speak my truth. Can we please stop with this my truth bullshit? Because I've had enough of this. Truth is not a subjective thing. Truth is objective. That's the whole point of truth. Opinion is a subjective thing. So Oprah Winfrey, who started all this nonsense, and you heard her using it during the Meghan and Harry interview, and you hear lots of people who are on social media saying, it's my truth, it's my lived experience. So what? It's not true. The sun isn't going to... There are parts of the universe that will never hear your truth. There are possibly parts of the world that will never hear your truth. There are probably even people in your own family who give a shit about your truth. The fact is, those are all subjective things. And matters like gravity and electromagnetism and solar radiation are as unconcerned, and those are true things. Those are things which are provable under laboratory conditions. They don't care a stuff about your truth. Your truth is only important to you. That you foist it on other people through billboards or other things is damaging to your cause, not helpful. When are they going to realize this? I'm sorry, it's just it's enough already. And I'm not going to be forced to find the woman on that billboard attractive, no matter how many of those billboards they put up. They could literally surround me with them every single day, and it's not going to change my mind. Don't find it. I do not like obesity. I do not like them, Sam, I am. It's enough already.
Yeah, enough already, because, by the way, people have already done the thinking for us, for goodness sake. Is some German guy called Immanuel Kant gave us a fantastic term. It's called the categorical imperative. We already, like you said, gravity, these things are, they don't need us to be true. It is objectively bad to be obese. Thank you. Now let's move
on.
Well,
there's another thing about this that irritates me, and it's a good point being made by Good Stuff here. This ad campaign is by large corporations who are trying to sell their shit by virtue signaling. Now, that is absolutely true, too. I am going to lay half the blame for this at the feet of the models and the activists and the people on social media, but the other half of the blame has to be placed squarely at the foot of a corporation like Calvin Klein in this case, or Sports Illustrated in the other case. Because what they're really doing is they're trying to appear like they are the most thoughtful, they are the most open-minded, they're the most accepting, tolerant, diverse, inclusive brand in the world. And they are none of those things, because they're not actually interested in those communities in the least. I don't know how many trans people Sports Illustrated sells magazines to usually, but it's even tinier than their percentage of the overall population. And I don't know how many women are walking around in Calvin Klein that is a size XXXXXXL, like that woman on the billboard, but I guarantee you they had to make hers especially for her, because they don't normally make underwear for people of that size, right? So who are they actually doing this for? They're doing it for themselves. They're not doing it for those communities. Can we get over this, please?
Yeah, and also, you know what it's led to is people vilify good-looking people now. I mean, tragically, I've never been a part of the good-looking community, but I don't know if you've seen that. It's gotten to a point where, yeah, no, but it's gotten to a point where people are already going. I don't know if you've ever heard this. It's accepted now to just go, oh, look at her, she's a bitch. I know it. Look at her. You can see she's a bitch.
No, people have been doing that for ages. People, that's called jealousy. That's been around for years. I'm also extremely jealous of good-looking people. I always go to the mirror. Right. I've told you this. I go to the mirror every morning and I go, oh, is that the best you got? I mean, I feel I should look a whole lot better, but that's what I got. So I'm not going to nail those people, because then it's going to go right back at me. But please, can we stop this stuff? Because it's propaganda. And, you know, we have the internet and we have the available information all around us about what we need to know about the world. We don't need to be exposed to this crap like we're in the 1930s in Nazi Germany. And they say, you will like this. This is what you will have, yeah? If you don't like this, we will put more of it in your way until you eventually will succumb to our propaganda. You can't do this to people. Like, it's just not acceptable. I can't believe that this sort of propaganda is coming from the left, the opposite side of the political spectrum to the side Hitler came from. But they're using that kind of propagandist tactic to sell us shit that we're just not interested in. Come on, everybody. Can we please stop this stuff? It's childish. It's unnecessary. And it's a waste of our time.
Yeah. I can't see why you would be called a bad person for what you've just said, because you are not saying there's anything wrong with being trans.
No, of course not.
That's not the issue you're addressing, but people always focus on that. But both, we know this, both extremities are dangerous, left and right, and we're seeing Hollywood spewing out now the worst of the left, and it's just, that's where we are. We're going to stay there.
Well, I mean, if I have to see one more attempt at trying to, you know, make women action heroes, I think I'm going to throw up in my hand. I'm just over it. That's not the way it works in the real world. They're not action heroes. Nobody believes it. Those movies never sell. It's a joke, and nobody's buying it. And the same goes for this stuff. I mean, I don't know how many women in the obese community are suddenly going out and buying Calvin Klein, or how many trans people are suddenly subscribing to Sports Illustrated, which, frankly, I'm surprised is even still a hard copy magazine. In a world of digital, I'm surprised they even managed to sell a single edition, but there it is. I wonder if there are lots and lots of sales that have gone up in the trans community. You know, again, community being a very loose word here. We've got to stop using community to describe everything. There isn't a fat community. They don't have meetings. They don't get together, talk about what they're going to eat next, That it's not a community. It's not a community. Sorry. And the same goes for the trans community. There could be all kinds of trans people all over the world. They're not in a community. They didn't get together, all of them in San Francisco at once, although you could probably fit them in one hall, and then decide what their next move is going to be. They don't. These are individuals all over the world. And I'm sick of people calling them communities. You know what communities are? Those people who stood together in KZN last week. Those are communities. Courtney says, marketing techniques to play with psychological tactics tempt a new way of being. It's interesting. There's a lot going on in that sentence, Courtney. But I think you are hinting at something quite interesting. Randy says, obesity is a big comorbidity for COVID. Do I have to support that? No.
If you want to be a good person. Sorry, what's that person's name?
But again, that's from Randy.
Yes. Randy, you do have to if you want to be a bad person or a good person. If you don't support it,
then you're a bad person.
You're saying, yes, you're a horrible person, Randy, and we have to, I mean.
You know.
And that's a great point.
The other thing that you don't see, I'm pleased that came up, because none of these public health officials, especially here in South Africa, have gone out there and actually said on a public stage, you know what the problem is? If you're fat, you have X percentage more chance of dying from COVID, which was a fact, right? If you were enormously fat, you probably would have been taken out more easily by COVID. Not always, because everybody's going to bring up that one occasion where their very fat friend survived. But in general terms, if you're enormously fat, COVID's gonna get you. COVID is gonna get you. COVID is gonna get you. And it did in many cases. But nobody was saying this. Now, I think that that's a fairly important health announcement to make. But did you hear William Kesey saying it? No, he's too busy looting the COVID funds. Did you hear Dr. Anthony Fauci saying anything about fat people? No. He was too busy getting airtime on CNN. Did you hear any of these people talking about fatness? Did you hear fat Donald Trump, who was actually overweight himself, if not obese, saying anything about fat people? No. So all these people have let the fat community down. And I want to point out that while I may have a problem with a billboard, at least I have cared enough to tell you to deal with your weight if you're worried about COVID. At least I've been considerate enough to do that. So call me what you want. But there's where I'm doing a public service. All right, fatties.
Good for you.
Good. Let's move on. We've got things to do, people to see, places to go, and we've got an important agenda item this morning, something that I've been looking forward to doing for a long, long time. There's a new brand on the block. It's called Contro. And the man who is the founder of Contro is actually somebody I've known for a long time, Alex Schmidt. He is also, apart from being a very, very smart man in the business world, he's also a qualified English solicitor. And he decided, this law stuff isn't for me. I would much rather be in the sexual health business. And while we're talking about health just a minute ago with respect to COVID, sexual health is a big area of trepidation for many people. Obviously, most people don't want to talk about sexual health. It's embarrassing. You know, you don't want to get on the internet and type in your own personal details and then find out that someone else discovers you have this or that sexual problem. You maybe don't want to tell your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your I don't know, maybe you have three lovers at the same time. You don't want to tell them what's going on because people are genuinely very embarrassed about sexual health. Even if there's perfect evidence out there to show that you are maybe one in every three people who suffers from a certain condition or wants help in a certain way, people are just nervous to talk about this stuff. So I think it's really excellent that Alex has started a business that will make it easier for people to get birth control, erectile dysfunction treatment, all kinds of other stuff. Hey, Alex, how are you?
Hi, guys. Morning. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
What a pleasure. It's good to see you, dude. And I'm really impressed with what you guys have started. Contro, you were busy putting it all together over a period of, a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah, a year and a half, 2 years. To be honest, started part-time while I was doing the law thing back in London. And we... I was meant to come back in, March 2020. Obviously, COVID hit. I was stuck over in London for a while. Mm. We got back here in October. We sat down. We kind of made everything happen that we needed to. And we finally launched in June 2021. And to be honest, it's been a journey, but it's been hell of a fun. And we've really, really enjoyed the process.
So, I mean, I gave a little spiel in the intro about sexual health and how people are mostly embarrassed by this. It's not the kind of thing that you want to go to a pharmacy or a doctor to deal with. And what you guys are going to do is make that a lot easier for people and make it a lot more a lot less embarrassing and a lot more private. And at the same time, they can find info. You've got experts that are going to join us every now and then to tell us about all of these various conditions and situations, and people can ask questions. It seems to me like it's getting a private consultation without having to leave your home. Is that more or less what it is?
Yeah, that's absolutely what it is. But that's just sort of the first part about it. So really, just to explain how it works, how Contra works is you basically log on, you sign up, you then fill out, you request the sort of treatment you want. So that's either birth control or erectile dysfunction. We'll go with birth control for now.
Okay.
You then fill out a dedicated health assessment form,
right,
which takes about 5 minutes. After that, you then check out and you book a consultation with your doctor at a time that suits you. That can be that takes about 5 minutes as well. And then after that, if you have a successful consultation, your prescription is sent to our partner pharmacy, who delivers it to you within 2 days. After that, we automatically renew your script and deliver your medication every 28 days. So, you know, I think there's a discreet element to the service, which obviously you talked about, and it's, you know, you don't have to go and see your doctor, you don't have to walk into the pharmacy, but that also comes with the convenience of not having to do those things as well, you know, having to drive to the doctor,
the
doctor's appointment, go to the pharmacy. It's a nightmare for people to get what is just chronic medication that people use every day. So, you know, not only are we convenient, we're discreet, but also we're affordable, because our doctor's consultations are, I think we're paying 150 Rand a month plus your medication costs. Mm-hmm. And right now we've actually got a special on where if you sign up before the end of July, you only pay 50 Rand.
That's phenomenal. Okay, so I see the benefits here immediately. Just tell me, are there only those two products at the moment? Are you offering just the birth control and the ED stuff? Is that the only two areas you're in, or are you looking to expand that?
So that's where we started. We sort of found those were the biggest markets and the biggest needs and wants in the country, although not very well talked about, definitely used quite a lot. So in terms of the birth control service, we offer over 28 brands. And in terms of the ED service, we offer over 10 brands, both event-based and chronic. And really, you know, we kind of understand that not every medication fits all bodies. So we looked at it and said, all right, you know, the doctor has got to make the decision based on what medication is best for the client, and as well as not their body, but also their financial means. So those are the really key factors. So it doesn't matter if you are new to birth control or you're currently on it, we'll find a solution for you in that sense. Same with ED.
All right.
But in terms of the other products we're looking to go into, sorry, Gareth,
no.
We're going to be going to hair loss, and we're also looking at going to HIV treatment, PrEP, and potentially adding ancillary products such as your condoms, your lubes, your tampons, your pads that can go with those sort of chronic medication orders you use monthly.
Sign Bulelo and I up for the tampons, right? Been looking for a good supplier for years now. That's where we need to be.
Especially at this time of the month, and it's good that I don't see you as often, Gareth, because it'll starting to sink.
So Alex, this is all very sensible, and it seems to me that it's bizarre actually that there hasn't been someone to fill this gap in the market already. How did the idea occur to you? Now I'm talking just more about the business than anything else, and who's on your team?
So the idea is actually a bit of a funny story. The idea came from one of my ex-girlfriends. When I was actually studying in the UK at the time, I came back, and we were obviously living together. She came into the door complaining how what a nightmare it was to get a pill, how expensive it was. And I sort of just looked at her and said, well, just order it online. Surely there's an easy way. And her answer kind of made the light bulb go off. And this was about 5-6 years ago, and over that time, I sort of kept my finger on the pulse to see, well, is anyone doing this overseas? Is anyone doing this locally? And a few international competitors popped up overseas, but no one did it in South Africa. And I kind of sat there thinking, you know what? I got to take the risk. Let's do it. Let's help some people and start a business.
So, I mean, there's probably a huge, huge market for people who want birth control, because we know that you'd have to go otherwise, stand in the queue, get it at the pharmacy. It's a pain. During COVID, no one wants to go to the pharmacy unless they absolutely have to, right? And for ED, do we know how big that market is? How many men suffer from erectile dysfunction in South Africa or in the world? And then we can narrow it down.
Well, I mean, to be honest, the stats are not really there. You know, as said, most people don't talk about it, right?
They just don't
say it.
Their wives just look like this.
That's exactly right. But the stats are, I mean, here's a crazy stat for you. 40% of men under 40 will suffer from erectile dysfunction.
40% of men under 40?
Under 40 will suffer from erectile dysfunction, wow, which is a crazy stat to think about. You know, a lot of it is mental, to be honest. But it could also be physical, and that's something our doctors will have to assess on the spot when they have a chat to you over the consultation. But in terms of South Africa, I mean, the sizable market we're seeing is probably about 1.8 to 2 million people, amazing, realistically, wow, in terms of, you know, who can access our sort of product. And in terms of the other problem, well, not problem, but the other issue so that a lot of South Africans face is diabetes.
Yeah.
And
it's a big part of it.
50% of men who have diabetes will end up suffering from erectile dysfunction over their life.
All right. So let's talk about how it actually works now. So if I'm listening to you, you guys are up and running. People can start ordering, yeah, from you right now. So if somebody's listening right now and they go, okay, it's time for me to start getting my birth control through Contro, or I want to start getting erectile dysfunction medication from you guys, they can go to your website, I suppose, is the first port of call?
Yeah, absolutely. So you just jump onto contro.co.za, and then right there you can sign up, and then you request the treatment of your choice. Once you sort of select that, you'll be given a health assessment, and you'll fill that out. It takes about 5 minutes. You'll book your consultation with your doctor. That's also about 5 to 10 minutes once you have it. If successful, you'll get a prescription sent straight up on at pharmacy, and it'll be delivered to your house every month for free.
That's fantastic. All right. Birth control and erectile dysfunction. We'll tick those two off the list. For Mbulelo and I, that's 3/4 of our problems. Just quickly want to get to – I just want to go to some comments here because our audience, they take no prisoners, you know, and they don't mess around. So Rebellious Ruth says, do you sell she-wees? Those are those things that allow women to pee standing up or to pee in the bush. You might want to put that on the list of products. And then Bev says, are you addressing the STD market too?
So two markets we're definitely looking at. She-wees we'll have to add to the ancillary products. We haven't, to be honest, I haven't looked into them yet. We're focusing more on the chronic medication side.
Okay.
But if there's a request, we'll make it happen. What was the other one?
STD market, yeah.
Yeah, so in terms of the STD market, we are actually going to be bringing in STD testing kits.
Oh, good.
So that'll be good, and that'll be nice and discreet for people to order online, get to their house. We actually hope to bring that in within the next 6 months. And once that's done, we're kind of looking at sort of chronic herpes treatment, which I know can flare up and down.
No, that's important.
So it's all the stuff that – it's important, but we laugh, but it's all the stuff people don't want to talk about. It's all the sort of awkward conversations. And the point is, you know, we take the awkwardness out of it and make it super discreet and convenient to get.
Alex, can you endorse any of these products of yours yourself? Have you been on the birth control? Have you been on the ED medicine?
I haven't been on the birth control, but all the exes have, and I'm still not a parent, that's a positive.
Father's Day passed. That incident. Okay, good.
Exactly. So that's all good. But the hair loss stuff, I can definitely endorse. It's hanging on. It's still there. So, you know, we're going to be launching that in the next 3 months. And, yeah, I can be honest, it definitely works. My dad's bald. I'm not. So
okay.
I'll take that as a win.
All right. Yeah, it sounds good, man. A lot of guys are worried about that. And, of course, they say that, you know, if you go bald, it's because you're producing a lot of testosterone, so you're more manly. But, of course, no guy wants to be bald if he wants to have hair. And it's not like you have
absolutely
a choice. So that's good. Okay. So Ruth wants to know, is there a pill men can take for birth control? They are working on that, right? They have been, and there are some products available. Are you guys going to think about putting those in your range?
Definitely. I mean, to be honest, I would take it myself. I think I'm probably one of the few guys that would, but I would definitely take it myself. And I think right now, I think there's nothing that's been sort of FDA approved and that's on the market. I read something the other day that there's now a gel that you can use and you sort of rub it on your shoulders every day and that somehow has an effect. Look, we haven't really looked into it. But once it becomes sort of publicly and widely available, we'll sell that gel.
Okay, I like this. So lots of people who are very interested, clearly a lot of our listeners have STDs because they like that idea of your of your home STD kit. I mean, there's Gen X who's talking about it, Bev. Sean says, I would like to help. So there are lots of people with questions here. But you guys will also have – your doctors are – these are real professionals. Some of them are the best in their field. They're people who you've been recruiting for weeks and months to get on your team. So when we ask for these medicines to be prescribed for us, you're not just going to get them. You need to check for contraindications. These are medical professionals who will make sure that you fill in the forms right. They'll ask you a couple of questions. You don't just get it straight away, right?
No, absolutely. You've got to go through the normal process that you would generally, but yeah, it's just really in a digital fashion, which makes it more convenient and discreet. So it's really, yeah, you have to tick all the boxes to ensure you can get the medication. And to be honest, it's not a guarantee,
right,
but for the current medications that we're offering you to get, you can, I mean, most people do pass the sort of, I guess, tests,
yeah,
because a lot of the medications are, well, birth control and erectile dysfunctions are more wants, you know, I want to be protected,
sure,
from sort of pregnancy, and erectile dysfunctions, I want to treat the problem. So when we go into more of the HIV stuff and potentially PrEP, et cetera, there's a few more tests that have to be done before we can sort of allow the doctor to prescribe.
It's basically a medical consultation anyway.
It is.
And you get exactly to ask, you get to ask questions. So if I go onto your site now and I want to get some ED medication, then there's going to be a qualified person who can address my concerns and answer my questions before I place an order, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly how it works.
Okay. Good Stuff says, buying condoms online would be much less awkward. Please get onto that ASAP. I always think that the cashier at the shop will go, hey, look, this guy fucks, and then I'll die of shame.
Definitely something we're adding, and we'll definitely be bringing it on the next few months. Condoms for sure. And to be honest, I think the same goes for lube. I think every time, you know, I've ever bought lube, everything's gone. What a freak.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Good for you.
All right, now this sounds terrific. So if you want to know more, go to contro.co.za. That's C-O-N-T-R-O. And we'll be checking in with Alex and with his team of really, really interesting people about various questions that you may have, various comments that you may want to make. And we'll speak to the experts. We'll speak to some of the doctors. We'll talk a little bit about ED. We'll speak a little bit about birth control, because there are lots of questions coming in now that neither Alex nor Bulelo nor I are qualified to comment on. But there are loads and loads of people who you do have at your disposal and on your team who will be able to dispense some knowledge, and then you can dispense the products afterwards. But go and check out contro.co.za today, and they're already offering that special that Alex just mentioned. Just tell us again what it is.
So if you sign up and book a consultation before the end of July, your first month is only 50 Rand.
Amazing. All right, go and try it out. What do you got to lose, especially if you're already buying this stuff now? And you're sick of going to the chemist and getting looks. All right, there we go. I love it. Alex, well done. This is a terrific idea, and I'm really pleased that you're doing this. And probably millions of people that you'll be helping all over South Africa. So terrific stuff. There's Alex Schmidt, and that is Contro. If you want to go and find out more about them, head to their website. Nice to see you, dude.
Yeah.
All right, well, there we go, Mbulelo. All of our problems solved in one swift 10-minute segment.
Yeah, gee, you won't believe it. Alex is solving a huge problem of mine, other than obviously the erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, which you've been very open about, yeah.
Yeah, and their labor pains. But it's because South African sort of service people, and it's good and bad, are very chatty, you know, is whenever I buy condoms, it's like a whole thing now. Now she's talking to the next person, like, woo, someone's getting, you know, like, and it's not malicious.
No.
But it's like, I don't need this. So shout out to Alex, dude.
Yeah. I think this is great.
What a great man. And also, by the way, we always negative about ourselves as South Africans. What a great South African.
Yeah,
came home,
there we go. He's doing
saw business.
Right.
He's identified. He's going to solve
stayed,
1 million.
Could have stayed in
problems.
London. Could have been a lawyer. And
yes.
I know Alex. He's a smart guy. So he could easily have done very, very well as a solicitor in London. But he decided, no, I'm going to do this instead. There's more of an opportunity here. And there are people in this country who need this stuff. So let's do it. Good for him.
And all I right. celebrate him as a fellow South African.
Don't lie. It's all because you're getting the ED medication.
Well, yes. Also, I'm going to go from floppy to stiffy disks soon, so that's great.
Do you remember we used to have those disks for a computer? There used to be those things. I forgot completely about floppy disks and stiffy disks. My God, yeah. That's a long time ago, man. That's a hell of a thing to think about. The computer, you actually had to put the thing in and then click that thing over.
It's massive as well.
They always had like a 50% chance of working.
Yeah, no, it was a nightmare. And then we went to the Stiffy, and then we went to something called a CD as well.
Yeah. Here's something interesting from Dogozo. He says, KZN service people are extra chatty. Buying condoms and lube at Clicks is always an adventure.
And Dogozo knows what I'm saying.
That's right.
And because it becomes a thing now, yeah. Right? As when you get there, especially if you, obviously, it gets colloquial if it's in Nanges Xhosa or Sepedi. And that now it's a thing, and people are laughing. I just think, I just want to get out of here. You know?
Yeah. Well, Tracy says, a great way to bypass the nosy receptionist at the doctor's office. You have an itch where? Red face spared and problem gets treated. Great initiative. Yeah, I love it. And obviously, they're going to start with these two products, but they'll add more as they go. It's very, very clever. All right. A few things I've also got to get to before we wrap it up for this morning. First of all, can we just keep some perspective? I think it's really important when there's, so much disinformation and misinformation out there. And the two are actually different things, by the way. We can get into the definitions in a second. But I did see last night that there are 67,000 people dead from coronavirus since March last year in South Africa. 67,000. So that works out to about 139 people a day on average through the whole period that we've been through. So only 139 people a day have died since coronavirus started in South Africa. I think TB kills something like 140 people a day on average in South Africa anyway. So we've got to keep some perspective on these things. I just think it's interesting to contrast the numbers. And this came out from Stats SA yesterday, which is also interesting. The population of South Africa was estimated to be 60.14 million mid-2021, an increase of about 604,281 people since mid-year 2020. So in the same period that we've lost some 67,000 people to coronavirus, we have gained about 600,000 or 700,000 people, because that's only exactly a year. The coronavirus time period is a little bit longer that I gave you. So we're up 604,281, according to Stats SA, and we're down 68,000, which is, call it, for argument's sake, a tenth of that. We've gained 90% in terms of people living in South Africa. You know, if you were an alien and you were looking just at the numbers and you weren't emotional about this, you'd say, South Africa's booming, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Just making the observation.
Open the restaurant. Open.
That's all you care about. That's all.
Yeah, I just want to go eat. Yeah, I want to go listen to the Yentas talking. But honestly, come on, guys.
Yeah, I agree. No, anyway. I'm with you. I'm totally with you, dude. Here are the damages that are estimated from KZN's looting and riots last week. According to this, there's some very interesting things. 50 billion rand impact on the national GDP. The retailer stores that have been impacted and damaged, 1,199 different stores were damaged and impacted by those riots and looting procedures in Gauteng and in KZN. And apparently PEP stores got hit the hardest. PEP stores, 489 PEP stores were hit during all of this. That's a lot of PEP. Huh?
Wow. Yeah.
The next
PEP talk.
Next biggest one was, it looks like Spa. Am I right?
Yes.
Spa then.
Yeah, you're correct.
Only, Bulela, for you, you can relax. Only 11 Woolworths were hit. Because, of course...
Oh, no. We spent all of our resources where I live protecting our Woolworths. So you'll be glad to know it wasn't in my community. And God is good. I mean,
I'm very, very pleased to hear that. But obviously, these damages and the cost of all of this is going to continue to plague us for some time going forward. So we thought it would be worth just putting up that little infographic that was put out by SAPOA. In the course of this
and
week.
You know what ties nicely into what we were talking about earlier is, you know, when you put it this clear and it's cold, the numbers are cold, right? Is now it's not interesting that you're a woman, man, gay, straight, trans.
Nobody cares.
That is a disaster. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Or rich, or poor, or old, or young. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's completely...
That is a disaster.
This is bad for everyone in South Africa, regardless of which group you consider yourself a part of. And here's the scariest part in the middle here. 150,000 jobs in KZN are at risk. 50,000 informal traders have been impacted negatively by this. And 40,000 businesses were affected. They reckon the impact on KZN's GDP alone is 20 billion rand. Which is just absolutely unacceptable. Unacceptable. It's totally bizarre. Stock loss, in other words, looting, cost 1.5 billion rand in just Durban. 1,400 ATMs were damaged. So that's 300 bank and post office outlets that have been vandalized. 1,400 ATMs. That's a frightening number, too. I didn't realize that there were that many that had been hit. Obviously, people after cash, right? That's what it is.
Yeah. And this is what happens when you don't take clear, concise action early.
Yeah.
When you, when you're dithering in Hyde Park, he knows who he is, dithering in Hyde Park. This is what happens. This is a you know what? Here's the real pandemic, if you wanted to take numbers into it.
Sure.
This is a pandemic. This is the, oh my God.
Well,
those numbers are scary.
Here's something interesting you might want to take a look at is we've put it up on Garrett's guests on cliffcentral.com. You'll find the interview I did with a man called Greg Ellis. He's a famous Hollywood actor. He's been in a number of different shows. He's also been on stage and on the small screen. He's been the voiceover artist for video games. You'll know Greg. He was in Pirates of the Caribbean with Johnny Depp. He starred alongside Leo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet in Titanic. So he's by no means some small fry dude. And he has a hell of a story about custody, about his kids being taken away from him, about being a guy who, in the American legal system, just did not get any happiness, joy, satisfaction, or even attention for trying to be an involved father. You know, here in South Africa, we talk about how many fathers are just deadbeat dads who just couldn't care less about their kids. Here's a guy who wanted to play a role in his kid's life, and the legal system just completely cut him out. He's a famous guy. He didn't need to tell the story, but he felt by telling it, he might be helping so many other men who didn't have the resources or the exposure that he has. He's written a book about it, which is really interesting too. So take a listen to our interview with Greg Ellis. It's available as a podcast or as a video. You can go and find it on Garrett's Guests, on the podcast apps, or on our YouTube channel. And I'd like to hear what you think. We're going to start a new series for this year, with the last 5 months of this year. We'll be talking to interesting people. And every week you'll get a brand new episode. I just yesterday recorded an interview with a guy called Ian Golden, who's just brought out a book called Rescue. He definitely comes from the opposite side of the political spectrum to many of the guests that we've had on the show before, and he has some interesting takes on what the world could look like after the pandemic and how we should make it better. So if you want to hear from Ian Golden, who's a professor at Oxford, he's going to be our next guest for next week, and you'll get to hear him and Greg Ellis, who's available right now on Garrett's Guests. So go and take a listen to that. Eleutheria says, oh my gosh, that interview with Greg hit me hard. It's very sad. Yeah, I got quite emotional at the end, which was unexpected for me as well. So thank you, Eleutheria. Some good stuff in that interview. Here's a question. Yeah. This question comes from Vania. I have a question for the team regarding the trans models and South Africa's first trans finalist in Miss SA. Trans could be seen as transformation, and if these models are participating in female categories, should they be fully transformed, i.e. have had the snip, or should they be allowed to tuck? An honest and open discussion is needed about this. Kind regards, Vania. What do you think of that? That's a whole kettle of fish I'm not prepared to jump into yet. I haven't even thought about it until your email. So what do you, anything you want to add, or you want to save it for next time?
Next time. I haven't really, I've never given it much thought.
While we're on emails, this came through this morning from Mrs. Cooper in inverted commas. I think our problems are solved, Bulelo. I am Mrs. Cooper from Australia. I lived in South Africa and I'm currently residing in London. I'm a widow to the late Dr. Andrew Cooper. I'm 77 years old and I'm presently suffering from leukemia. She talks about her health condition. Then she says this. After the doctor's medical pronouncement that I had only a few months to live, I decided to divide my wealth and contribute to your country in Africa. So she basically wants to send me, and I think it's real, Bulelo. I have no reason to believe this.
Absolutely.
$600,000. So I'm
not enough. If I were you, reject it. It's not enough. If she wants to help solve Africa's problems,
but this could be
add at least.
We could imagine what we could do with that money from Mrs. Cooper. So
I'm
she,
such
obviously,
a good person.
She has a Gmail.
More,
she has a Gmail account, which I'm never suspicious of. So I'm definitely excited about that. And you know, since I was caught on that puppy scam the other day, I'm ready to go for this. All she wants is my bank details, and she says she'll process the application through a family attorney, and all she needs is my account details, and she'd be happy to help. So I mean, I don't see any reason why not, huh? What do you think?
You know what I think? I think after you suffered the trauma of the puppy scandal, you've done the work. It sounds like you've done the work. And now you're ready to put yourself out there again. And that speaks to you, Gareth. It's not even about the money at this stage. Take it. Take it and run.
We've had such a busy agenda this morning, but there's one last thing I want to throw in here. Soon you will be able to stay young forever. This is great news. Although the pharmaceutical industry is constantly evolving, new therapeutic approaches are being developed everywhere. One aspect has not changed. The use of small synthetic molecules, which account for 90% of the therapeutics on the pharmaceutical market. Some of the top-selling drugs are small molecule drugs. So, what you need to know about that is that they have a low molecular weight. They have some definite advantages as therapeutics. They can be administered orally, can pass through cell membranes. Once they're inside the cells, they can be designed to engage biological targets like proteins, etc. Now, what they say is, although there are many of these drugs have been with us for years, the rapid advancement of biopharmaceutical research and technology is opening up new avenues for inventive and ingenious approaches to developing anti-aging medication. Metro Biotech is a company, and this is one of the companies in this article, that talks about inducing mitochondrial biogenesis, which will basically keep the mitochondria in the cells healthy for longer. And if you can keep the mitochondria healthier for longer, then the cells don't die, because what provides all the energy in the cell? The mitochondria. So these guys reckon they can put the right drugs in to a pill that will help keep your mitochondria going for longer. In other words, prevent cell death at the normal sort of frame and rate of cell death. And they'll be able to extend it. Doesn't that sound like a good plan? We could live forever.
I want to
live
like
forever.
Dr. Hanan until I'm 80. You know, he's got that porcelain skin.
Yeah, he looks very healthy. He's exactly. Mm. Don't want to look like me. I mean, I want to go backwards. I want to age backwards. I want to go like Benjamin Button. So if they say to me, take one of these pills, I'll take three.
Okay.
Then I'll be younger. I'll be younger tomorrow than I was today. Makes sense, right?
This is why we can't have nice things. It's people like you, you know?
Exactly. Gen X wants to know, are we going to have an interview with Chris Wyatt? Yes, we are. I was actually, Dari was talking to him just yesterday, so we're going to speak to him. He's a retired U.S. colonel in the military, and he's going to speak to us about South Africa and about his time in the military, and we'll speak to him about a whole lot of other things too. And then this is cool. Courtney McConnell says, give it to Gift of the Givers.
Yes.
The money. That we're going to get from from
scam
Mrs.
Money,
Cooper. Yeah, it's not scam. It's real.
Oh, sorry.
Bolero. Please.
Sorry, I'm in a bad place in my life right now. I'm just skeptical of everybody. I've just come out of a bad breakup.
There we go. All right. Very good. And on that
note, I'm doing the work.
Are you doing the work? That's all that matters, everybody. Just tell everyone else you're doing the work, and it'll all be fine. All right. We will see you tomorrow morning, bright and early at 6 o'clock. Have an excellent day. Cheers. Be good. If you're not, take photos. Bye. CliffCentral.com